The private becomes public. The divine enters the human world. This is the first sign, the first miracle that would begin after 30 years, the three-year public ministry of Christ. This is 3 years. There are three tiers or levels to this event that occurred at Cana in Galilee. One is social, one is sacred, and one is spiritual. Weddings back then, perhaps, were more significant than they are now, and they lasted longer. There'd be a series of banquets at night, and eventually then the groom would take the bride home to the house that had been prepared, and that would be the final procession. Meanwhile, you had a right, if you were invited, to the banquet. And of course, the food and wine were basically a sign of, what I'm going to look after my wife this well, see how well we eat tonight. And as the case would be back then, so too today, it would have been a social disgrace if the food didn't go around or the wine or drinks just stopped short. Why did that occur? Well, we don't know. Perhaps there was some error in judgment, some lack of counting, or perhaps the disciples of Jesus were so numerous. We are told that the family of Nazareth, Jesus and Mary, had been invited. We presume Joseph has now passed away. And the disciples of Jesus, the scriptures say there were 72 disciples, of which he chose 12 apostles. So perhaps all 72 came along. We don't know. But the wine did run out. And notice that the mother of all mothers picks up on this detail. Of course, Christ as God knew what had happened, but he waited for her to bring the issue to him. She was the link, as she would be the link, and through her fiat, divinity would take on humanity and the incarnation began. So through her instrumentality, her plea, her intercession, he would begin his public ministry. Mothers pick up on details. She saw the detail, she saw the issue, and helped to avoid a trauma, a social disgrace. And it all happened in a rather discreet and unnoticed manner, as is the case of grace. Grace works in ways we cannot fully grasp, and what you see is not often what you get. Driving on a hot road, in summer you see a mirage, water on the road. There's no water on the road. The appearance and the reality don't mesh. So too often what we see and what actually happens don't mesh. We don't see the big picture as God sees it. We just see the little connections, and perhaps even then we don't understand. As they didn't understand why the best wine was kept to last. Many people just didn't realise a miracle had occurred. Perhaps later it was all explained to them. But at the time, the appearance and the reality were not connecting. That was the social dimension. The sacred dimension is this. God's grace, his blessings, are never wasted by God. If they are wasted, we are the cause. His sacraments are meant to make us saints. If they don't, it's not God's fault, it's ours. So too with the water becoming wine. I don't believe that those six jars filled with 30 gallons, 180 gallons, all became wine. I don't think God works like that. Simply because when he fed the multitudes on two occasions and transformed just a few loaves of bread and fish into a vast amount of food to feed perhaps 12,000 people. At the end of that significant multiplication of food to fill their bellies, an instruction was given to collect all of the scraps, small and big bits and pieces of bread and fish and tails, put them all together, collect everything. Why? Because grace given to us by God is never wasted. And I think they had wine at this wedding, and it was the great wine, the best wine, because God only gives us the best, in as much as they needed wine. I don't think they had leftovers for other weddings. I say that because not once, but three times, we're told drawing out of the big jars, the water became wine. We're not told the jars had now wine in them, but rather as they needed the wine and the water was drawn out, it became the wine. Look carefully at the text. The drawing of the water transformed it into the wine inasmuch as they needed wine. God provides for our needs, not our wants. Our wants can mislead us from God. So that's the second dimension. The third dimension is spiritual and profound. I've put a piece in the bulletin regarding it. Cana means zeal, Galilee passage. This would be the zealous passage from the beginning of his public ministry to the end. Cana connects us with Calvary. And that's why the language here given to us by St. John is so unique. Notice when Our Lady, the mother of Jesus, comes to the Lord with this request, they have no wine, he doesn't say, Mum, Mother, Lady, Mary. He gives her a rather odd and objective title, Woman. There's only one other occasion when Jesus would refer to his mother as woman, the woman, the mother on Calvary. And he says to her, woman, why turn to me? In the Greek it's rather, woman, what is this to me and to thee? In other words, do you understand what you're about to launch? And then the next phrase gives it away. My hour has not come yet. In Holy Week and Good Friday, the hour is the hour of his passion and death. That's what he's referring to. Because like a domino effect, if I work this public miracle now, Mother, you know, click, 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 we will go to Calvary. Are you ready to watch your son suffer and die? Are you ready to acknowledge all the Old Testament prophecies about me being nailed, scourged, hung upon a tree come to pass? Are you ready, Mother, to become, as I will be the new Adam, you will be the new Eve. As I am the new man, you are the new woman. Are you ready to climb that hill? Are you ready to be the mother, not just of me, but of all humanity? Are you ready for this hour to come? And she's compliant with God's will. Cana leads to Calvary. This was a physical, actual wedding on Calvary. It was a spiritual, mystical wedding. As the first reading illustrates from Isaiah, the wedded, the delightful. Christ is the groom, the church is his bride, fashioned and modelled on Mary, his mother. And that's why the church has always been marrying and feminine. And that's why we're born of the church, as we're born of a mother. We're fed by the church as a mother feeds her child in the Holy Eucharist. We're healed and helped. Our mother is the church, modelled on Mary, and this wedding leads to that. And that's why the language is so pertinent and so important. And that's why marriages are so significant. They're moments in life when everything changes. No longer are you just a man, a bloke, and a girl. You become a husband and wife, and then with God's grace, a father and a mother. And from married love comes family love. And God is a family. And through our family on earth, we go back to God. So this wedding would lead them to Calvary, and it leads us to our future. However, we need to do what she tells us to do. She's our mother in heaven, and we have a father in heaven. We ought to listen and learn. And the last words ever spoken by her not just to the servants, because we're all servants of the Lord, but to us here today in 2016, are ever more important. Let us dwell upon these five words and perhaps even daily ask ourselves how well we're going with regards to the fulfillment of them. The first miracles worked because people were obedient to these words. May miracles occur in your life because you do what she told us. What she told them, she's telling us today. The last words ever spoken by Mary are, "Do whatever he tells you." Praise be Jesus Christ. Thank you.